Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello and welcome to episode 161 of MTG Pro Tutor. I can't believe we are here, the last episode of 2016. Wherever you are in the world, tomorrow is New Year's Eve, so I hope you have something fantastic planned and you're going to do lots of fun stuff. I know that New Year's is a big deal for us here. We like staying up late, watching the ball in New York drop and all that good stuff. And then always, obviously, it's a great time to set goals and reflect on the past year and what you want to do in the new year and all that good stuff. So I really hope that you're taking some time for yourself to reflect and to plan, as well as making time to be with those whom you enjoy spending time with. I'm living with my family and friends, and I'm very optimistic about this new year. I'm really looking forward to the future. So happy, happy new year to all you wonderful, wonderful prodigies out there. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have a great guest lined up for today's interview, but before we dive in, I want to say thank you so much to the patrons. There have been a few more who have signed up, and I really appreciate your support. I cannot keep the show going without you, so thank you, thank you, thank you. As a heads up to everybody out there, I love doing a survey twice a year in January and July, just to keep my pulse on what you guys like about the show, what you think I could do better, all that good stuff. So look for that coming soon. I constantly want to keep the show improving and moving forward. I never want it to be stale or plateau. So I'm really looking for your input on what you like about the show, what you think I could do better, what sections of the show do you not get a lot of value from, what questions do you think I should be asking guests. The goal is to always help you improve. I would love to help 1,000 players qualify for the Pro Tour, and these interviews are supposed to be a way for you to peek into the minds of the best players in the world and get tips and tricks to take your game to the next level. I mean, we say that every episode, right? So let me know what you think. Let me know what you would like to hear. I'm open to suggestions. I love constructive criticism, and I happily welcome it. That's really it for the top in the interview stuff. So I'm super excited to bring in our guests to sit down and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I am super pumped to have our guest with us today. Our guest is from Panama, but is currently living in Taiwan studying Japanese. He's played for Team Panama in 2 World Magic Cups and made top 8 of the most recent one. When his schedule and budget allow, he enjoys attending Grand Prix and has a personal best record of 11-4. Prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Manuel Sucari. Manuel, how you doing today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Yeah, sure, man.
Excellent. Now, all you prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Manuel, he is on Twitter. He's at Manu Goyf, but he's not super active on Twitter, so we're going to get him into the Facebook group, the Prodigy Facebook group, so you can connect with him there on Facebook. So either way, either on Facebook or Twitter, you can find him, but more active, he is on Facebook. So Manuel, let's dive into a little bit about you outside of Magic before we dive into the Magic stuff. So we mentioned in the bio that you're from Panama, but living in Taiwan studying Japanese. So what's that like? What made you go all the way out to Taiwan to study Japanese?
Well, first I wanted to learn Chinese, and then I liked the country a lot, so I decided to stay here and study another language.
Excellent, excellent. So you just love the Asian culture, wanted to hang out there in that part of the world?
Yes, you're right.
Very cool. Now, do you have family back in Panama, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I live with my sister here, and the rest of my family is in Panama.
Excellent. So your sister's out there. What's she studying?
My sister is studying Korean.
Okay. Excellent. So you have Chinese and Japanese and Korean, and that's really great. What are you guys going to do with those languages? Do you want to, I don't know, be an ambassador or something, or what's the plan?
Well, for now, the plan is to be a translator. I love translating. It's very fun.
Is there a lot of need for, now, are you going to do Spanish to Japanese translation, or are you going to do Japanese to English?
Well, anything I can do, I'll do it.
Sweet. So you have your parents in Panama, you and your sister there in Taiwan doing school. That's great. And they're in a completely different, I guess, school year than we are, huh? So do you make it back home very often? Or
no, I just go in summer, July.
Okay. So you head home in the summers, and other than that, you are living the life in Taiwan. That is awesome. That is awesome. So we love using stories to learn about our guests. And the story that we want to dive into first with you is the very first time you ever saw or played with Magic cards. So tell us your origin story and take us to that day.
Okay. I think I was in high school, and one of my friends told me about this amazing card game. So I saw the cards, and I went to the store the next Friday, and I bought a pre-constructed deck, but from Onslaught. I think I remember it was blue and black. It wasn't very good. So, but I played with FNM the same day, and I didn't want any rounds, but I loved it. Not losing, but the game, you know?
Right, right, of course.
And so at the end of the tournament, I was hooked, and I wanted to come back like every Friday and try to win at least one or two and so on.
So let's see, Onslaught was your first set?
No, it was actually 8th edition, but the pre-constructed deck was from Onslaught.
Got it. So 8th edition was your first set. And so you were there on a Friday, you bought a pre-con deck, and then you played in FNM that day with that pre-con deck. Okay, that's awesome. And then, but I like how, you know, you loved it, and then you set a goal. So, you know what, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to win one. Because I lost, I didn't win any this week, but my goal is just to win one. You didn't say, you know what, I'm going to win FNM, which is fine. You know, that's a good goal to work toward. But you said, I just want to win one game and learn. And then I want to win two games. And then you kind of do those baby goals until you end up on a World Magic Cup team. So that's awesome. So that's really neat. So 8th edition. What's been your favorite set since then?
I love playing Constructed. So I love the multicolor sets like Ravnica, Shards of Lara, and Council of Tarkir, those kind of sets. Because they have like these powerful multicolor cards like Siege Rhino.
Yes, I love Siege Rhino. So let's see. If you lived on Ravnica, what guild would you be a part of?
Oh, I think EZ, because I like playing control and also aggro. So I can have both, probably.
Excellent, excellent. So if you lived there, you'd be part of the Izzet guild. That's awesome. That's really neat. So you like multicolor sets, like Ravnica, and awesome. Now, along the same lines, what is one of your favorite cards?
Well, my favorite card is Tarmogoyf, definitely. I don't know if you heard about the card.
Well, let's see. I probably should have guessed that because your Twitter is Manugoyf, so that's pretty cool. Now, for those of us who don't know, maybe we have some new Magic players or whatever. What is Tarmogoyf? What does it do? And why do you like it?
It is a green creature for one and a green. It is X and power is X and toughness is X plus one. So X is equal to the different card types in every graveyard. So if I have, for example, a land in my graveyard, what I have, and the opponent has a creature, it's a 2/3.
Nice. I have one lonely Tarmogoyf sitting in my binder that I don't know what I'm going to do with because I don't know. Like in Modern, I like, right now I'm building Abzan, like the Abzan toolbox, you know, with Court of Calling and Collected Company and all that stuff. Yeah, so I don't really know if I'm ever going to, use a Tarmogoyf, but it's, I don't know. I just feel weird like trading away my one random future sight Tarmogoyf. So it just sits in my binder and, you know, looks nice, I guess. So let's see. What decks do you play that have Tarmogoyf?
Jund. I think it's the only good deck in Modern that uses it.
Got it.
Probably like Infect in the sideboard.
Cool. So you're a Jund player. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I like that. So, yeah, so here we are. You are out there in Taiwan studying, doing school. We mentioned when you can, you're going off playing Magic and playing on the World Cup, which is great. Why? What makes Magic fun for you? Why do you make time for it in your life?
I think it's the competitive side of the game. I love playing tournaments. I love preparing for tournaments. And I know winning makes me feel great. When you prepare for a tournament and you win rounds or you win the whole tournament, that's a great feeling, and I love that feeling, and I want to keep having it.
Very good. The competitive aspect, the learning, the growing, the challenge, and then of course,
yes,
you know, the winning, the payoff to see your hard work, you yes, know, all the way through. I love it. So as you have developed as a Magic player, can you look back onto either an event or a period of time that you feel that you grew, that you level up, that you're like, wow, you know, I'm a good Magic player?
Probably this year I played in GP Taipei here, and I finished 11-4. But the last round, I was 10-4, and I had to play against a Hall of Famer. He's Japanese. His name is Makahito Mihara. He's actually one of my favorite players. So I got to play against him, and it was a very good match. It was very skill intensive, and because I prepared a lot for the tournament and I prepared against his deck, I knew exactly what to do, but it was really hard to win, but I made it possible. So after that match, I just feel like that I can win every against any opponent. It doesn't matter if he's good or bad.
That is awesome. What format was it?
was standard.
Standard. Okay, cool. So here you are, a standard Grand Prix, and you're on the last round, and you're playing one of your favorite players, right? You look up to this guy, and here you are sitting across the table, and you're like, oh my goodness, like, how's this going to go out? And you said it was very skill intensive. And I love those games. I love those games where it's skill intensive. It's one of those games where obviously we all want to win, but at the end you're like, oh, that was good magic. You know what? You know, win or lose, it was good magic. And you play tight and then you beat them. And at the end you're like, wow, you know, if I could beat this player who I know is a really, really good player, then I'm not half bad. I can probably hold my own. So that's really neat. That's really cool to see. It's fun when we're able to go and play our idols and then not get crushed.
Yeah.
So where were we? GP Portland. I played against Andrew Brown, who I had met before, and then he won Grand Prix Denver. He had top eight of some other stuff, and
yeah, I know who it is.
Yeah, and so I sat across the table from him, and I was like, oh man, like, it's a kind of similar thing. I did not win. But okay. But you know, similar experience where you sit down and say, okay, like, I know this is a good player, so I'm gonna have to play really tight, and so I'm still looking for that opportunity where I get to play one of my idols and not get crushed. So so good for you. That's awesome. That's awesome that you got to do that and just kind of, you know, pump yourself up as a player and feel really good. So I love that. I love that you were able to grow and expand. And as we go through Magic, we all have ups and downs. We all have a journey that takes us through highs and lows. And so I'd love to ask you, what is your worst Magic moment? And then what did you learn from that experience?
Actually, it was the GP before GP Taipei. Was in Tokyo. So I went there and I prepared a lot. It was standard too. I prepared a lot for the tournament and I didn't make day two. So after the tournament, after day one, I thought about maybe quitting the game. And it was really sad. I was crushed because day two, I think in these days, is not that hard if you practice a lot, if you prepare. You have to win six rounds. I went 5-4. And after the tournament, I was thinking about not playing anymore because I thought I wasn't good enough to even make day two of the GP. So my friends and actually my dad told me that he knew that next time I will do better. So I should not quit because of one tournament.
Wow, that's good advice. That's good. Thanks, Dad. That's awesome. So obviously he knows how important Magic is to you and obviously supports your desire to do well and improve.
Yes.
That's awesome. Right. That's really neat. Yeah, I was going to ask, what did you do to move past it? But sounds like having good friends, a good support system, your dad and then your friends said, hey, it's just one tournament. Don't give up because of one tournament. And then the very next tournament, you did 11-4, beating one of your idols and proving that you are a good Magic player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting. So what did you learn? So what did you learn from this? So you prepared, you flew there, you didn't do well, felt like quitting, you had a good support system that held you up. So now looking back that you're separated from the emotions, what did you learn from that experience?
Well, I think I learned because I played a deck who was designed to beat the two best decks in the format. And I didn't want to play the best deck in the format. I think that was my problem because I never ever in that tournament play against the two best decks. I played against Control and Rams and they all crushed me. At the time, the best deck was Collect the Company, Ban Company, and Green White Token. So I had the chance to play any of those decks. And I didn't want to because I was scared of other people having decks that beat mine, like I was trying to do. So I learned that I don't have to be scared about of using the deck I feel most comfortable with. Yeah.
That's a great lesson. That's a great lesson. So play what you're comfortable with. And don't really worry if someone's packing the hate. Just make sure that you're more prepared. Now, on the flip side on our journey are the highs and the proudest Magic moments. So tell us your proudest Magic moment to date.
Well, it's making top eight in the last World Magic Cup.
The top eight of the most recent World Magic Cup. That's awesome. That is absolutely incredible. So what did that feel like for you?
At the moment, I thought it was like dreaming. I wasn't like very excited until I got home. I didn't believe that we made top eight because on day one we did really poorly, really poor. We went three wins, three losses, and one draw. And on day two we just couldn't stop winning. So it was like surreal for me making top eight.
couldn't stop winning. That is great. And what did it mean for you as a player?
It meant a lot. Like, because on the last Magic Cup last year, our country was in the last place. Ended up last place. Yes. So when I saw that, I was like really, was like angry and sad at the same time, because I know a country is not the worst country in the world. So right. I really wanted to play in this one and prove that we can make to a pay. We can actually win the tournament if we prepare.
Nice. And so you're able to show the world, like you said, that Panama has its place on the top Magic player. That's awesome. Now, what did it take to get there? Because you're out there in Taiwan, so how did you qualify for your team?
Well, first I saw one of my best friends, Saul. He made top 8 in Costa Rica. And then the first WMCQ, another good friend, Sergio, he won it, the standard one. And when I saw that the team was like really good, for me, those two guys are the best players in the country. So I really wanted to be in the team, but I don't play modern that much. So I didn't know what to play. And the thing is, I just have one chance in a year to qualify to play in WMCQ, because when I come back to Panama, I just come back for 2 months. And so I just have one shot to make it. So I went there and I practiced with my team in Panama. And I decided to play Suisetsu or Death Shadow. And I tested a lot in the last week. And I went undefeated in the tournament. So that felt pretty good. And I knew we had a great team for this cup.
That's awesome. You went undefeated. That's great. Now, you said you practiced a lot. So, you didn't even drop a game.
No.
Nice. Wow. Okay. So you said you practiced a lot. What does that mean? So you were on, did you use Magic Online? You just do leagues all day long? Or, like, what did that look like?
Well, when in the day, I went to a friend's house and we tested like all day long, because I think Death Shadow is a very skill intensive deck. You have to play it perfectly if you want to win. And then when I went back home, I played Magic Online, I played leagues and stuff in Magic Online. And the next day I went again to my friend's house. And yeah, it was like 1 week doing that. So I prepared a lot for the WMCQ.
Good for you. That is great. And you mentioned Saul. He is a great guy. He was actually episode 127 on the show. So he's been on the show before. And I just love what he's doing out there in Panama and really boosting the community out there and really making it happen. So that's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That's really neat. And then, so you qualified there. And I love how you said you have one shot. So you go home in the summers. There's one WMCQ that you can do. And you made it. And you were able to get on the team and represent your country. That's wonderful. So as you have played probably thousands of games against players from all over the world, because obviously you play in the World Magic Cup and you go to Grand Prix and everything, we want to tap into your knowledge and your observations. What has been the biggest mistake that you see other players make? And then how can we avoid that mistake?
Well, I don't know about other players, but I have made a lot of mistakes. I told you earlier about the deck choice. Deck choice is very important. And I I think players tend to worry a lot about the deck they're going to play and don't practice a lot. I think practice is the most important thing if you're going to play a GP. And just play with the deck you feel more comfortable with. And another thing is, people get really nervous in GPs. For example, in the GP Taipei, I played against a local player, and he's very good. I think he's very good. But he made a huge mistake against me, and that cost him the game. So I never saw him making mistakes. But I think he was like a little nervous or something. So don't get nervous. Magic is just a game.
Easier said than done. So, do you have any, I don't know, tips or anything that you do to help with the nervousness, to calm your nerves?
Well, I get nervous really easily with not only playing Magic, with other aspects of my life. When I play Magic, I try to not to think about anything else. I try not to think about I'm going to lose or who I'm playing against or whatever. I just try to focus on the next play and next turn. Try not to think about anything else. It doesn't matter if you're 1-0 or you're 0-0 to doesn't matter. You just have to play this round, this game.
I like that. Yeah, stay focused. It doesn't matter who you're playing against. Doesn't matter what your record was the last match or, you know, the last game. Yeah, just play this round, this game. Think about your turn. Okay, look at the board state. Here's what I'm going to do next. Why am I going to do it? And then kind of walk yourself through. So, excellent. Yeah, that's really good. I think the nervousness kind of gets everybody at some point, especially early on when you start going to your first PPTQ or you go to your first Grand Prix. Those first several that you go to, you're always going to be a little bit nervous. And yeah, so just and so I would also say going, you know, consistently. As you go to bigger events more consistently, you get used to the feeling, the nerves wear down. And also I think preparation helps with the nervousness as well. So
yeah, preparation helps a lot because if you prepare a lot, you're almost like an automatic when you're playing the Yes.
And that starts way before your event. So, you know, and you're always going to get a little bit of game day of nervousness, which is fine. But yeah, to really stay on top of it, you have to start weeks in advance by preparing. So I think that's great. That's awesome. So let's see, knowing what you know now, if you went back in time 5 years, what advice would you give yourself?
Myself, I will say to myself that, because I think before I used to think a lot, like I used to think that I wasn't good enough to win tournaments. So when I won something, I would be like, wow, I did it. And I won't believe it. So I will tell myself that you can do it. So don't be amazed if you win a tournament because you're great. You're good.
You can do it. Yeah. So kind of step into your greatness. Like understand that, like you are a good player. It's not an accident that you're winning these things.
Yeah. The first time I won my first WMCQ in 2012, I couldn't sleep in the night. I didn't believe it. So I don't know why. This time was better.
That's awesome. Well, good for you. So, I mean, yeah, I think that obviously we want to improve ourselves as Magic players and we don't want to be, you know, cocky or anything like that. But we also need to have that confidence, you know, like as you start getting your results, it's okay to be like, you know what, I am a good player. And again, you don't want to be like a jerk to everyone in your LGS because you're a good player. But you want to go into a tournament with confidence, saying instead of being like, oh, I don't know if I can do it again, be like, hey, I've prepared, I've done this before, I just got to play tight. You know, you always have to respect your opponent, stuff like that. But yeah, that's good. So kind of giving yourself a little confidence boost, a little pep talk, that'd be great. So let's see, Manuel, how many pro points do you have right now?
I have 5 from the top 8.
5. Are you going to be able to make silver this season? Do you have any plans to kind of hit it hard?
I'm not thinking right now about that because I just want to see how I do in the Pro Tour.
Okay.
But I'm going 1 week before to play GP Prague. So I'm going to try. But my goal this year is really I want to be the captain for next World Magic Cup.
Good. That's a good goal. And you do that by having the most points though, right?
Yes.
Now, have you been to a pro tour before? Or is this going to be your first one?
This is the first one.
All right. Yeah. All right. So what are you going to do to prepare? Because I love asking this, you know, because it's kind of it's a different animal. You know, we talked to several players who they're going to their first pro tour and their approach is different. And I'm curious, what are you going to do? How are you going to get ready for your first pro tour?
Well, first I'm going to play in the pre-release. I want to try to play a lot of limited and then, because the news is just a new set coming, nothing is rotating out. So I think it's going to be easier for me to pick a deck, like a similar standard deck from now. I don't think it's going to change that much. And I'm going to prepare a lot in that week before the Pro Tour on Magic Online. And also my friends from Panama, my team is going to the same GP and Pro Tour. So we're going to prepare together.
Yeah, I was hoping that you're going to link up with some of the players who are on their way to the Pro Tour. Hopefully, ones that have been to Pro Tours before and can kind of give you a bit of a boost.
Yeah,
awesome. So your goal is to be the captain of Panama for next year. That's awesome, and you're headed out to your first Pro Tour. So best of luck. We love cheering past guests and watching you do well. So good luck. That'd be super cool, Manuel. What would you say is your best format?
Standard, definitely.
Okay, excellent. So how do you effectively prepare for a standard event? So let's say you have a standard Grand Prix coming up. How far back do you start preparing? What are you doing to prepare? What does that look like for you?
If the standard is, for example, this one, I will start today practicing, playing Magic Online, playing leagues, and I like going to see the results from the leagues from Magic Online. I like to see all the decks, all the sideboards, what are they sideboarding. And I also like to play every deck. I want to know how the other decks work and how I can beat them.
How do you choose a deck? Let's say it's a new standard format. So let's say this deck standard format coming up. You know, after the Pro Tour, we've seen some decks already and whatnot. But it's still early in the format. How do you pick which one is good for you, and what does that process look like?
Well, after the Pro Tour, probably I'll test every deck, and probably will play the deck that gives me the better results. So, yeah, I think that's the only thing I can do. I won't try to create a new deck. I will try to play the best possible deck that I can find.
You know, that's a good idea. I like that. So sometimes we ask, how do you find what deck's right for you? Because like you've mentioned before in this interview, playing a deck that you're familiar with, it yields benefits, you know? And I'm always curious, oh, how do you find what's right for you? And I know that some players like, oh, I've been playing for years and I'm a really good aggro player. So they just kind of go for that. And that's totally fine. Or I love control. That's totally fine. But I like what you said. Hey, you know, after Pro Tour, when the standard's pretty fresh, play all the top decks, you know, look at the top 8, look at the top 16, play all those decks and just see for this format, what resonates with you, what gave you the best results, which one felt right for you, which one clicked. And then you can work on that. You can tweak it. You can roll from there. So I think that's a really good idea. Just kind of give every deck a fair shake. Now you're not going to go out or maybe you do, like you're going to build every single deck, or do you just proxy it, play with friends? Like how do you actually test every single deck, every top deck from the Pro Tour?
For that process, I use Magic Online. If I'm in Panama with my team, I have like all the cards there. I can build every deck. But I think Magic Online is the fastest way. It's not the cheapest way, but it's the fastest way to test every deck.
And then you just hop in. What, you do a couple leagues with each deck and just kind of see which one's best.
I'll try to do like a league with each deck, probably. Yeah.
Awesome. Just to really kind of get that gut feel, and then. Yeah, you know, maybe something that you just, and you know, I've played decks before where I was like, this did not work for me at all. You know, and so, you know, I went to one FNM. I was like, that was not my style. And then I found another one and I played that one for a couple, you know, for several weeks. And so you can get that. You do a league that's what, 5 rounds. And so you get to play, you know, several games with it and be like, hey, this deck didn't really resonate with me. These ones over here I liked. And maybe you do a couple more leagues with those ones that you liked. And then, all right, this one, this two, you know, these are the decks that I really want to use this particular season. So. I like it. That's a really good approach. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. So let's see. Right now in Standard, what do you feel is an underplayed card in Standard? One that's not getting much respect.
Underplayed card. That's a really hard question.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a big deal. Like I'm not going to be like, hey, you said it was going to be good, and it's not. Just what card out there do you like in Standard that's not really getting much love right now?
Probably one of the Planeswalkers, but I can't think about anyone that is not Gideon or Liliana.
Yeah, those both are getting a lot of love.
Yeah.
So, on the topic of Planeswalkers, like, so they've been, do you think that there is, well, I guess, so right now we're in spoiler season, we haven't seen everything yet, but for example, they had the Oath of Ajani come out, and so, do you think that there will be room, there will be a Planeswalker deck moving forward?
It could be, but I don't think that the Oath is going to make it
work.
Yeah,
not that particular one, yeah.
Yeah, so probably better Planeswalkers or... Because I don't know. Because right now, Emrakul is just too good to be playing like midrange decks. So if you take a lot of time to win the game, they're going to beat you with Emrakul.
Yeah, and Planeswalker decks usually take a lot of time to set up. You know, because they're usually not super cheap. Like, I know right now we have a 3 and a 4 Planeswalker, stuff like that. But, you know, you have to get the right abilities that line up. And you have to... Yeah, it's a more longer game for sure. Yeah. Okay. Got it. And also, I feel that most Planeswalkers, unless they make a flyer, they're kind of weak to flyers. Like Smuggler's Copter is just like, oh, I'm just going to punch you in the face, you know? Yeah.
So. Have I seen the Spellcaller?
Yeah, that guy. Mm. So what are you hoping for, I guess, in the next set? So we've already seen a couple of spoilers coming out, and they're showing us some big, powerful stuff. But what do you feel that the format needs? What would you like to see?
I would love to see a like Python Needle. That's how it's called, a Python Needle effect. It doesn't need to be Python Needle. It can be like Friction Revoker or something like that, because it stops the Marvel, the Copter, Gideon, and the Liliana, which are 4 of the best cards in the format. But I don't know if that will be good, because every deck would like to play that card. But we definitely need something to stop the Marvel. turn four.
Got it. So some static ability that shuts down an effect, as opposed to, because they just revealed like some kind of blue counter spell. Doesn't it counter like an effect? I have to go look it up.
Counter spell or activated ability?
Okay, some kind of activated. But you're just saying some kind of something that you play early that you can name something, and then it just shuts it down while that card's out. Maybe put that on a dude, so then the dude can be destroyed, so it's not too overpowered or something. But I guess right now there's a lot of artifact hate, so yeah. So something to kind of counter the Marvel effect. All right, cool, very neat. So let's see, what you're out there in Taiwan, and when you go to Grand Prix, you normally have to travel because they're not all there in Taiwan. So what do you take with you? You know, so you're traveling a lot. What's in your tournament bag? How are you traveling to these events?
Well, I like to, well, just the same thing I bring in every like trip. But the only difference is that I like to carry my cards with me. So, because I'm scared of losing them.
That's very good advice. I heard this horror story. I don't even know where it was, but somebody said there was an event many years ago and the Japanese team showed up and they had checked their bag. They checked their magic cards in their bags. And the bags got lost. And so I was like, oh man. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why. Yeah. And so when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh. And then you are giving the same advice. You take your cards on your carry on or on your body and you have them with you so that you don't check them in, because just in case you don't want to show up without a deck, because that would suck.
At least the deck that you're going to play, at least that you have to carry with you.
Yeah. So what other magic related stuff do you take with you? Do you take a dice? You take a game, a play mat? What do you do?
If I'm playing a deck that uses a lot of dices, I will bring dices. And the mat, I don't like to take with me because I think every GP they give you a mat.
Yep. So, true story. Well, good call. That's a good call. So you travel light, because obviously you're flying a lot. You want to make sure that you keep your stuff on you, keep it light. Yeah, come prepared. So if you need dice and tokens, you bring those. If not, don't. And then use the play mat provided by the event, and you're good to go. So excellent. That's really cool. Now, do you do anything on a daily basis to help you stay engaged with Magic, that you feel helps you be a better Magic player?
I try to play Magic every day, Magic Online, like at least a match a day. Before you called me, I was playing a match, actually.
Yeah, there we go. So play at least a match a day. Just kind of keep playing. At least a match a day. I love it.
Or you can read articles or watch videos.
Oh, perfect. So where do you read your articles, and who do you watch on videos?
I like reading articles from Channel Fireball and Star City Games, and videos where I like to watch streams. I think they're fun sometimes. I like Paul Cheon's stream for Constructed, and I like Nomodonami stream for Limited. They're really cool guys.
Excellent. So Paul Cheon and Kenji. That's really cool. And I like that. I like that you have a limited streamer that you like to watch and then a constructed one. So you kind of get to, you know, you watch two different people in two different formats, kind of get insights and tips for two different ways of playing.
Yeah.
That's really neat. And that's so Twitch, Star City Games, and Channel Fireball are your resources that you go to. I love it. So as we pull into the home stretch here, a few more things. What would you say to a brand new standard player? So, you know, someone who, they know the rules, they go to FNM, they've just started going to FNM, they're brand new. What's one thing that a new standard player should focus on?
I think they should ask a lot of questions to people that they think are better than themselves. I think that's very important to ask a lot of questions and practice a lot. I think practice is the most important thing. Not only playing tournaments, but practicing is very important.
Now, what kind of questions should they be asking?
Like, how do you think about my cyborg? What do you think? I'm cyborging this, and this is not working, and why? You can ask, like, what I can take out, and why? I think asking why is a really good question. You have to know why you're doing stuff, and what I'm doing wrong, what I'm losing. Is the deck bad? What I should play, stuff like that.
Yeah, asking why. I really like that. I think that's so true. You know, why did you make that play? Why do you have this card instead of that card? What do you think about my sideboard? Why is this card a good sideboard choice against this matchup? So yeah, just asking why, being open, finding those players that are better. And it's easy. Like once you start going regularly to your FNM, you'll see the one, two, three players that are always at the top, that are always doing well. Those are the ones that you want to ask questions to. You can learn from everybody. Don't get me wrong. You can absolutely learn from everybody. But those are the ones that you can start gravitating towards and asking questions and picking their brain. And if you have a nice, healthy community in your area, people are happy to help. They're happy to talk about magic. And you can find yourself improving, you know, a lot about that. So all you prodigies out there, once again, I want to remind you that you can connect with Manuel online. He is on Twitter at Manu Goyf. But he's not like super active there, so we're going to slide him into the Facebook group. And if you have not joined the Facebook group yet, you can go to mtgprotudo.com/Facebook group, sign up there. We'll get Manuel in the group, and you can ask a follow-on question there if you so wish. So, Manuel, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something that you already said that you want to emphasize, or something new you want to leave with us here at the end?
Well, just have fun playing the game. Don't be too harsh on yourself. That's the most important thing.
Manuel, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse. And thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it has been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you, man.
Hello and welcome to episode 161 of MTG Pro Tutor. I can't believe we are here, the last episode of 2016. Wherever you are in the world, tomorrow is New Year's Eve, so I hope you have something fantastic planned and you're going to do lots of fun stuff. I know that New Year's is a big deal for us here. We like staying up late, watching the ball in New York drop and all that good stuff. And then always, obviously, it's a great time to set goals and reflect on the past year and what you want to do in the new year and all that good stuff. So I really hope that you're taking some time for yourself to reflect and to plan, as well as making time to be with those whom you enjoy spending time with. I love being with my family and friends, and I'm very optimistic about this new year. I'm really looking forward to the future. So happy, happy new year to all you wonderful, wonderful prodigies out there. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have a great guest lined up for today's interview, but before we dive in, I want to say thank you so much to the patrons. There have been a few more who have signed up, and I really appreciate your support. I cannot keep the show going without you, so thank you, thank you, thank you. As a heads up to everybody out there, I love doing a survey twice a year in January and July just to keep my pulse on what you guys like about the show, what you think I could do better, all that good stuff. So look for that coming soon. I constantly want to keep the show improving and moving forward. I never want it to be stale or plateau. So I'm really looking for your input on what you like about the show, what you think I could do better, what sections of the show do you not get a lot of value from, what questions do you think I should be asking guests. The goal is to always help you improve. I would love to help 1,000 players qualify for the Pro Tour, and these interviews are supposed to be a way for you to peek into the minds of the best players in the world and get tips and tricks to take your game to the next level. I mean, we say that every episode, right? So let me know what you think. Let me know what you would like to hear. I'm open to suggestions. I love constructive criticism, and I happily welcome it. That's really it for the top in the interview stuff. So I'm super excited to bring in our guests to sit down and talk about Magic.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery, be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.